Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Egypt's official Middle East news agency is quoting travelers from Iraq this morning as saying there have been large-scale arrests following an attempt to assassinate Iraq's President Saddam Hussein. We must stress this report has not been confirmed. It adds the attempt involved some of Saddam Hussein's close associates. The Iraqi leader is due to make a statement in about an hour. President Bush will be looking today for non-military options to the Persian Gulf crisis, Linda Tyra reports.
The small coastal town of Kennebunkport, Maine, will be buzzing with diplomatic activity today. President Bush will meet this afternoon with King Hussein of Jordan, and then he will have a separate meeting with the Saudi foreign minister and the Saudi ambassador to the United States. But Mr. Bush has indicated a quick diplomatic solution to the Persian Gulf crisis may not be in the offing. In his meeting with King Hussein, he's expected to remind the Jordanian monarch of his long-standing friendship with the United States to convince him to join the international embargo against Iraq. With virtually all other access cut off, Iraq has been receiving cargo through the Jordanian port of Aqaba. President Bush has indicated the United States might be willing to help compensate Jordan for the loss of revenue and oil it receives from Iraq, its largest trading partner. Linda Tyra, CBS News, Kennebunkport.
This is Catherine Arms in Amman. Three Americans have crossed into Jordan from Iraq within the past 13 hours, according to American embassy officials here. Details were not available concerning two of the Americans as they signed a privacy act preventing the embassy from releasing their names, addresses, or travel plans. The third American, Bassem T. Hajbey, did not leave a local address, but officials said all had been in contact with the embassy. The three U.S. citizens reportedly entered Jordan with 7,000 other foreigners and were the first U.S. citizens to cross the border from Iraq since Saturday. As one Western diplomat said, it's chaos at the border. Catherine Arms for CBS News, Amman.
CBS News correspondent Dan Rather, who is in Baghdad today, tells us of the Iraqi expectation from today's Kennebunkport meeting.
There is a hope and expectation here that perhaps Jordan's King Hussein will be able to give President Bush a more objective view, a fuller view of a Saddam Hussein whom the Iraqi government would like to have seen as a strong leader, a person who did what he had to do in Kuwait, and who is now prepared to negotiate peace.
Rather says Iraqis do not yet appear to be suffering greatly from the UN economic boycott.
The economic pressure has not had a widespread effect, but there's great concern about what it may be in, say, a week or 10 days. Iraq has a wheat crop of its own. It is an exporter of fruits and vegetables. If, as is apparently the case now, they aren't able to move any of that stuff to the outside, of course, they could use it for internal consumption. There are no lines at gasoline stations here, although people are not allowed to put gasoline into separate containers. That's to avoid hoarding.
The U.S. buildup in Saudi Arabia is virtually around-the-clock operation, with more than 70,000 men now reported in the region. As Jim Stewart reports from the Pentagon, Iraq's new concessions to Iran could complicate U.S. strategy.
The Defense Department is watching closely today to see how, if any, the Iraqi overture to Iran will change the military map in Kuwait. Iraq occupied 1,000 square miles of Iran during their eight-year war. It would now appear that those Iraqi troops may be freed for duty elsewhere, possibly to face off against American troops. Meanwhile, plans continue here to call up some U.S. reserves. America's 1.6 million part-time soldiers and airmen have always figured heavily in the Pentagon's war plans, but now the nation's massive deployment of men and material to Saudi Arabia is putting the theory to test. The Pentagon says it wants to activate 50,000 reservists, to include a brigade each from Georgia and Mississippi. Those units may not actually leave the country, but a host of smaller units like medics and air reconnaissance personnel likely would. Jim Stewart, CBS News, the Pentagon.
As the U.S. buildup continues in Saudi Arabia, American soldiers, sailors, and airmen are finding their main enemy so far is not poison gas or Iraqi shells, but the oppressive heat and humidity. This Army doctor says the troops are bearing up better than expected.
I think it's indeed a serious threat. Fortunately, the soldiers have responded to their advisors that have suggested drinking copious amounts of water. Fortunately, our supply system has made lots of water available, and we've had very few illnesses as a result.
Several Air Force crew chiefs in Saudi Arabia have told reporters that Iraqi jet pilots have several times retreated after weapon systems aboard American fighters locked onto their planes. Air Force commanders refused to confirm those encounters. On the Mississippi River near Venice, Louisiana, early today, a tanker struck and sank an Army Corps of Engineers living quarters barge with about 100 people aboard, including this man.
When it hit, it knocked me on the floor. the ship had hit us, man, you know. Everybody started running off, you know, and I got out in the line. They say it was going to blow up, but it didn't blow up. The barge sank.
Everybody did get off, but about a dozen people were hurt. The Soviet Union's nuclear weapons industry, it seems, has a radioactive pollution problem at least as bad as that of the United States. Physicist Thomas Cochran of the Natural Resources Defense Council is among those who've been studying the problem.
They have a lake, about a 100-acre lake, that contains 120 million curies of strontium and cesium. Now, that's clearly the most contaminated spot on the planet. It is in such bad shape, it's going to be next to impossible to clean that up.
The radiation from that lake is said to be 2.5 times greater than that from the Chernobyl disaster. Soviet President Gorbachev is breaking off his summer vacation for crucial talks in Moscow on economic reform. Russian Republic President Boris Yeltsin also broke off a political tour to attend those talks, saying turmoil is developing in discussions on a switch to a free market system. Gorbachev has also restored citizenship to Nobel laureate writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was expelled to the West in 1974 and now lives in Vermont. Black-on-black killing escalated as scores of armed men attacked terrified passengers at a train station in Soweto Township, killing at least 4 people. A fifth person was killed at another station. Newsman Mike Sullivan reports.
The latest clashes have pitted different tribal groups against one another and supporters of the African National Congress against the more conservative Zulu-based Inkatha movement. It was a deadly mix of tribal and political warfare as armed gangs known as Impis roamed in search of more victims who were killed wherever they were found. Soon, hospitals were overflowing with the wounded and dying as other survivors packed what few possessions they could save and fled. Police at times seemed unable or unwilling to stop the fighting and were accused by the ANC of siding with Inkatha. Then, the police and army moved in using tear gas and shotguns to break up rampaging mobs, eventually disarming many of the fighters, taking away hundreds of the homemade axes, spears, and clubs used in the killings. But despite the police efforts, the fighting continued and spread today to Soweto Township on the edge of White Johannesburg. The fighting poses a serious problem for South Africa's politicians, but on the ground, the real losers are the innocent victims of a society in which brute force has been a way of life for decades. Mike Sullivan for CBS News, Johannesburg.
Inflation stayed in check last month as consumer prices rose 0.4%. Today, the dollar is higher, gold is lower, and on Wall Street, the Dow is off over 20 points. Time on the roundup, 10 past 7.